Those of you who are staying, turn in your Bibles to the book of John again. The book of John. John chapter 11. Last week we heard that Lazarus was sick, and that his sisters were very worried that he might die, so they sent word to Jesus that he might come. We heard Jesus tell his disciples that Lazarus was sick, that he had fallen asleep, and ultimately he finally told them, listen guys, he's died, he is dead, he's gone. And Jesus waited. He waited. That they all waited for 2 more days until they decided to go to him. We saw the actions and reactions of every person that was involved in this event and tried to relate with how this affected, they were affected by this death. At the end of the sermon, I made it known that I could relate with just about every person there. But Lazarus was the one that I felt that I could most relate with because Jesus saw him dead in his trespasses and sin. He called him by name and he rose from the dead. This morning, we're not going to be moving too far from last week's scripture, as I feel the need to ask a question before moving on from here. Now, I had fully intended, Miss Desi, I was going to start, you know, a Christmas series because we're in the month of December in 2 days, and we ought to be, you know, preaching happy Christmas sermons, right? Right? And singing Christmas songs. We didn't sing a Christmas song this morning. That's next week, though, right? But I couldn't. As I started looking through and studying for, you know, what God might open the door for me to preach on a Christmas messages, I just kept, okay, you're not done. What's next? And I was like, okay, Holy Spirit, what are you trying to tell me? He said, go back to the scripture. So I went back to John chapter 11, and I started reading. Title of this message, the sermon this morning is, What Should Have Happened? What should have happened? We saw last week, and I'm sure some of y'all went back and read, what did happen. But I want to ask a question. What should have happened? Look at John chapter 11, verse 45. John chapter 11, verse 45. Now we're going to see what happened. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he did believed in him. Well, what did he do? Well, he raised Lazarus from the dead. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. See, listen, there were tattletales back in that day too, weren't there? What is it? Snitches get stitches. They were snitching. Verse 47 says, so the chief priests and the Pharisees convened the Sanhedrin. They called the Sanhedrin to come together and said, what are we going to do since this man does so many signs? If we let him continue in this way, everybody will believe in him. Then the Romans will come and remove both our place and our nation. Let's pray. Father, we come to you again this morning, asking you to forgive us of our sins and where we fail you. Lord, I pray that you would just put a hush around us right now. Help us, Lord, that we might hear a word from you. God, it's time that we hear a word from you. Not only hear it, but Lord, not only listen to it, Lord, but hear a word from you that we might be what you've called us to be. In Jesus' name I do pray, and all God's children said, amen. Have you ever replayed an event over and over and over in your mind? And you try to think, you know, what is it that should have happened? As I thought about this and thought about asking you this question, it seems like after my father passed away, I replayed that week's events in my mind over and over and over. And sometimes I still do it. I mean, every single day. I just went up there to see him, to help him to get to the doctor. That's all I was there for. Tony, that's all I was doing to help him get down the stairs. He lived in a second-story apartment and a townhouse, and all I was going to do was help him get down the stairs. And Miss Barbara, I was going to take him to the doctor, and they were going to find out what was going on, and I was going to take him back that night. And my dad never made it home that day. I replay those events over and over and over and over. And at the end, I ask myself, what really should have happened? Well, I should have taken my dad home. He should have, you know, lived 2 or 3 more years, but that's not what happened. all of us have these events that take place in our lives, and we try to replay them in our minds and think about what could have happened or what should have happened. And this church, we cannot look past the rising of Lazarus from the dead and not contemplate that question, because something should have happened on this day, and it did not happen. And it's sad that it didn't happen. Now, let me just make a statement before we answer or try to answer the question as to what should have happened. And here it is. Can I tell you that the world today is messed up? Really messed up. The day that this event took place, it was messed up. The world was messed up. Y'all just saw Jesus rose this man from the dead, and the Pharisees are tattletaling. I mean, that doesn't make sense. Melissa, does that make sense to you? It absolutely does not. The world has always been messed up. I could stand here for the rest of my time and that I have left and preach to you and tell you of instance after instance of things that are taking place in the world, things that are taking place in America, things that are taking place in Georgia, things that are taking place in the city of Savannah, and things that are taking place in the place that we call the farms that just don't make any sense to me. It makes no sense. I found a pair of brass knuckles under a bush across the street, walking down the street. I was checking the mail. Brass knuckles. I mean, it's crazy. If you look at these issues in light of Scripture, the Word of God, God's 66 love letters to His church, these things are mind-blowing. Do you know in the state, listen, here in the next couple of weeks in the state of Georgia, we are going to be voting for a man to possibly enter the Senate, United States Senate, who calls himself a preacher. He calls himself a preacher. And he believes that it's okay to abort a child up to the day of birth. He's not a preacher. I don't care what you call yourself. You can call yourself a car and pull in a garage. You're not a car. That's how messed up the world is today. And what's even worse, what's even more messed up, is Christians are going to vote for him. It doesn't make sense, church. What I'm trying to tell you is there has always and always has been things in the world that do not make sense scripturally. And now we come to our story from last week. Ricky Tyree, it doesn't make sense. There's some things here that absolutely, positively do not make sense. So let me tell you what should have happened on this day. Are y'all ready? We saw what did happen. Justin, are you ready? What should have happened on this day? Number one, the very first thing that should have happened was that each and every person who lived in Bethany or was visiting the town or for whatever reason, it doesn't matter why they were there, but whatever reason they were there, they should have been saved that very day. Every single person should have been saved that very day. That day should have been their day of salvation. This is the day they all should have accepted Jesus as their rightful Messiah. But that didn't happen. Mr. Crawford, that didn't happen. Look at verse 45. Verse 45 says, "Therefore many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw that Saul did believe in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done." That's what we see happening. I mean, what are the Jews always asking for? Well, what are they always asking for? Just give us one more sign. Jeff, just give us one more sign. We hear people say this all the time. Listen, I wish that I could believe the way you believe. Has anybody ever told you that before? I wish that if Jesus would just come and speak to me the way he spoke to you, I think I could believe. If Jesus would just do a miracle, I could believe. I could believe. Listen, don't believe that lie. That's Satan. He's whispering that lie into your ear.
Christ says to come to him by faith. Have faith that he is who he says he is. These people saw. They saw with their own eyes that Lazarus had raised from, Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, and they still didn't believe. Not only did they not believe, hey, they went and told. They went and told on him. Is that not, that's mind-blowing. That's mind-numbing to me. Terry, they wouldn't believe. They would not believe in Jesus. Church, we first saw that many believed, not all, just many. Now, how many is that number, many? How many is many? I don't know. Church, I just need some clarity here. I'm not going to be, you know, a greedy preacher or a number counting preacher tallying up numbers just so I can brag about how many people were saved or how many people were here this day or how many saw Jesus raised from the dead. I just want to be honest here. I just do not know why all of these people did not get saved. What I can tell you is this. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. For 4 days. Well, what's the big deal? Well, I'm going to tell you the big deal. I always tell you the big deal. I don't ever want you to forget this big deal. According to Jewish tradition, when a Jew died, y'all know what happened? He was dead. But the spirit loomed over the body for 3 days. That's what the Jews believed. This is not coincidence that Jesus waited and he'd been in the grave for 4 days. Not a coincidence at all. You've got to understand Jewish tradition, and this is just, it explodes on the pages of your Bible. He intentionally waited 2 days to come to make him dead in the grave 4 days. You see, if Lazarus would have walked out of that grave at 3 days or 3.5 days or 3.75 days, the Jews would have said, see, you know, I mean, the spirit looms over the body for 3 days. But he waited 4 days. All those Jews who believed traditionally, he was dead. He was dead. There's no way the spirit can reconjoin with the flesh and come back. There's no way. Jesus waited 4 days for a reason, church. You do know that someone official came and pronounced him dead, right? I mean, that's not something new today. Somebody, you know, Mary, or they sent for the doctor as he started to worsen, as the death rattle you heard in his chest and he was heaving to grab his last breath. They sent for the doctor. Y'all know that, right? The town doctor. I don't know what his name was, other than doctor. And he came. And when Lazarus died, he was dead. He was pronounced dead. But listen, just because they lived over 2,000 years ago, there's something else we need to understand. We know what a dead body looks like, right? Right? Now, a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I believe, to be perfectly honest, Amy and I were sitting at home in between church, and she had gotten up to get ready for church. And she just squeals, hollers, I mean, screams. And I'm like, what in the world? So I run in there, and she's looking out our back window, and she can see our bird coop from there, our chicken coop from there. And there's a hawk with his wings spread out like this, with his talons inside the chicken gate, pulling one of our chicks out. Yeah. I'm going to be a hawk killer. Pulling it out. And there's... the one that he's trying to pull out, it died immediately. There was one over in the back corner that didn't die quickly. We picked it up and we put some ointment on the wound that we saw, and we put it in a box by itself and put a light on it to keep it warm, and came in there that night and gave it some food on a syringe. And next day I came out and I was like, you know, I just need to put this bird down. I just need to put this bird down. And I didn't. I said, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait one more day. And came home from work that day, and Ricky, it seemed like the chicken had come to life a little bit. So I gave it some more food. I put some food and some water and crushed it and put it in a syringe and gave the chicken some. I was like, this bird's going to make it. And I was excited because anytime we've ever had a chicken get sick and we've tried, it's always died. So that night before we went to bed, I went out there and I checked on the chicken again, and she was actually clucking. And that's a good sign. She's making noises on her own. And okay, she's going to make it. She's going to make it. Woke up the next morning, got dressed, and went outside and went to check on her first. And I didn't hear any noises, any chicken noises. And I looked down, and she was laying down on her side. And I picked her up, and she was stiff. What does that mean? She's dead, right? I knew she was dead. I knew there was nothing else I could do. I couldn't, you know, take her to, and baptize her in water. I couldn't, you know, force feed her any more food. I couldn't shock her. I could do nothing. She was dead. I knew the signs. The people of the time where Lazarus lived, they knew he was dead. They knew there are things that we can visibly see with our eyes. We can hear. There's no heartbeat. There's no lung movement. You don't see any rising and falling. And you know, the body starts turning pale and white. The blood rushes from your hands and starts collecting where the body is sitting. They knew Lazarus was dead. There was no denying the fact that Lazarus was dead. Now, I'm quite sure that even as the Jews buried their dead, as fast as they buried their dead, as devout Jews still do today, everyone who had seen Lazarus knew full well that he was indeed dead. Even the Jews in verses 36 and verses 37 knew that he was dead, and they pronounced him dead. Look at verse 36. It says, "So the Jews said, 'See how he loved him.' But some of them said, 'Couldn't he have opened the blind? He who opened the blind man's eyes also kept this man from dying?'" They even admitted that Lazarus was dead. So, what's the big deal about Lazarus being dead? And now you think all the people should accept Christ because he is now alive? Church, that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that because of the length of time Lazarus was dead and who it was that brought him back to life, they all should have accepted Christ as their Messiah. Listen, they're always begging for a sign. Always begging for a sign. Just give me one more sign. Just give me one more sign. If Jesus, if you'll do this, just give us one more miracle. Give us one more sign. What could outdo this? What in the world could outdo Jesus raising a man who had been dead in the grave for 4 days? What could outdo this? Well, there's one thing, and it hadn't happened yet, and that's when he raises himself from the dead, when God raises him from the dead. Amen? Church, the second thing that should have happened, the first thing that should have happened is, I mean, there should have been a national revival. Everybody in Bethany should have gotten saved. Amen? I want to go back to Bethany, and I want to see it. I want to get saved again. I don't need to, but goodness gracious, I want to see it. The second thing that should have happened on this day is that Lazarus should have been preaching at every street corner. There should have been an extensive question and answering session taking place. Here a man stands who had just spent 4 days in heaven. Now, please, someone correct me, and I know you will if you think I'm wrong, but there has never been someone who spent time in heaven and came back to life other than Jesus. Lazarus is keeping some pretty good company here. He and Jesus are eyewitnesses to heaven. Eyewitnesses to heaven. Listen, think with me here for a second. Y'all have seen different documentaries of people who've said, you know, I was in a bad car wreck. I was laid in the emergency room. I could hear everything that was taking place around me. Y'all have heard those testimonies, haven't you? I heard everything that was taking place around me. All of a sudden, I just saw a white light, right? And I could hear the flat line on all the monitors. And I can remember that I stopped breathing. And they'll tell you what they saw. I want y'all to understand something. There's some things that I ain't ever going to tell. I ain't telling. And there's some things that some of y'all don't need to tell. Just between you and God, amen? Confess it to God. Leave it to God. But I want y'all to know something.
If I die and I spend 4 days in heaven, you ain't going to shut me up. You're not going to shut me up. I'm going to tell it all. You can cage me, chain me, bind me, bribe me. Brother Carey, I am not going to shut up. I'm not going to shut up. But we don't hear anything from Lazarus. And it's strange. Church, Lazarus in himself, for the rest of his life, is a walking, talking testimony of Jesus the Christ. His life points to the power and majesty of the Messiah that all the Jews are looking for. Should this not be the best news in all the world? The Jewish nation should have taken him directly to the temple and used him as exhibit number one to prove once and for all that Jesus was, is, and forever will be their Messiah. But that does not happen. That's not what happened at all. Well, Brother Kyle, what happened? Look at chapter 12, verse 9. Chapter 12, verse 9. This doesn't make sense. Tony, this doesn't make sense, man. Then a large crowd of Jews, learned that he was there, being Jesus. They came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, the one that he had raised from the dead. Therefore, the chief priest decided to also kill Lazarus. Tessie, come on. Really? To kill Lazarus? Because he was the reason many of the Jews were deserting them and believing in Jesus. Yay! That's a good thing! Yay! They're looking for the Messiah. Listen, to this day, they're still looking for the Messiah. If they would have just accepted this miracle that took place in Bethany on that day and pointed and used Lazarus as the... Okay, listen, this is the Messiah. I mean, he was dead in the grave for 4 days. This exceeds even our tradition. He is the Messiah. Nobody can do this. Instead of doing that, taking him to the temple and using him as exhibit number one. Now, you know I wanted to use that word this past week. Exhibit number one. No. Hey, instead, let's kill him. Is there anybody in this room who thinks that makes sense? No. It makes absolutely no sense. The third thing that should have happened that day, first thing is there should have been national revival. In Bethany, there should have been just an outbreak of revival. Lazarus should have been used as exhibit number one as why the Messiah is Jesus Christ. But number three, the third thing that should have happened is there should have been international and national revival all over the Holy Land. Can you imagine how fast this word spread that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead? Can y'all imagine how fast that spread? I can't imagine. And it's not a rumor because he's alive and giving testimony of his actual death. Everybody knew and everyone wanted to see this man who was once dead. But this didn't happen either. What did happen makes about as much sense as what we see happening in our country today. Listen to what actually happened. Look at verse 47. So the chief priests and Pharisees convened the Sanhedrin and said, "What are we going to do since this man does so many signs? If we let him continue in this way, everybody will believe in him. And the Romans will come and remove both our place and our nation." That doesn't make sense. That they were priests put in place. Listen, they should have been the ones who were looking for the Messiah. Proclaiming the Messiah, pointing to the Messiah, putting the Messiah on a pedestal and saying, "Here he is, you wanted him. Listen, he's our Messiah. There's no doubting anymore." But it's not what happened, church. Can I tell you something else that doesn't make sense? Just about done. Y'all stay with me. Can I tell you something else that doesn't make sense? Caleb, this doesn't make sense to me. Jesus raised you from the dead. Jesus raised you from the dead. You're not the same. You are exhibit number one that Jesus is alive by the way you live your life. And yet, There are those who see you, see the difference, and still choose to deny Jesus as their Lord. They try to remove any resemblance of Jesus in the world. Just this past week, I don't know if you saw the news story, the ACLU is at it again, trying to remove any and all semblance of the Nativity. The Nativity. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. There's some things that are offensive to me in this world. I've seen some things that are offensive to me. I have. We all have, right? There's never been a time, Ricky Tyre, where I walked down my street or drove or I saw a nativity scene and I said, man, that's just offensive to me. What is offensive about a nativity scene? Proclaiming the birth of Jesus. If you don't want to believe, that's fine. Don't believe. But it's offensive? Really? It's offensive to you? It's happening all over the place. Listen, they see that, Jeff, you know, you're not the same. I knew you. I knew you in high school. I know that you couldn't have changed from what you were to what you are, but I'm not going to believe it. As a matter of fact, I'm not only not going to believe it, I'm going to try and destroy every bit of evidence that supports that you were changed by what you say you were changed by. Church, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Another thing, listen. Just as when Jesus rose Lazarus from the grave, and it was proof that Jesus was the Messiah and a national revival should have taken place, today we can look at New Testament scripture, words that Jesus spoke over 2,000 years ago, things that he said would take place just prior to his return. Church, those words are right here in our scripture this morning, and everyone can see them and know what is taking place right now, and yet we see no revival taking place. Go read Matthew 24. I mean, y'all see it. It's taking place. It's taking place faster than I even thought that it would take place. But we see no revival. We see no revival taking place. It's right here. In 2016, when they were campaigning, they were saying all these things, and they came so close to saying, listen, you need to look at scripture and look at prophecy because things are starting to line up. And I mean, I could really see it then, but I see it now more than ever. Goodness gracious. Church, I can't even watch. I haven't watched the news since May. I can't stomach it anymore. And it's happening right now. Why aren't we having revival? Lastly, church, it made no sense to me that Lazarus, a man who was raised from the dead, was not telling the world what happened to him, how Jesus spoke his name and came out of the grave. Church, it makes no sense to me as a pastor that we who were called out of how he called us out of our graves are not telling the world either. We're not. We need to be making an impact, church, now more than ever. Church, as we approach the time when we celebrate the birth of Christ, as we feel the wonder of Christmas, will you remember that you were once dead in your trespasses and sin? Will you this year do what Jesus called you to do? Will you tell the world, knowing that they are more receptive to listen at Christmas than any other time of the year, will you tell them who Jesus is? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word and we thank you for this word. Help us, God, to remember how dead we were. God, help us to remember who we are, what you've called us to do, and help us to get about doing it, Lord, that we might glorify your name, knowing that time's running out. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, if you need to come this morning, just spend some time at the altar. Will you come?
If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm going to be standing down here at the front. Let me show you what the Scripture says. Not me, not what the Baptists say, but let me show you what Scripture says, what Jesus said every person must do to be born again. Will you come? As the music plays, will you come?